You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times, in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. Have you ever found yourself in survival mode, just doing whatever it takes to get to the end of the day? The woman at the well was somewhat in survival mode. She was there in the middle of the day, maybe hoping not to see anybody else, when she encountered Jesus, the man who would change her life. In today's episode, our guests are Lainey Stidham and Debbie Pace, and we talk about how the woman's encounter with Jesus was unexpected, and yet he knew everything about her, and he was exactly who she needed to see in the exact right moment that she needed to see him. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm Rachel Langston, and my co-host today is Allison Parker. Our guests are Debbie Pace and Lainey Stidham. So, Lainey, tell us where you are today.
Where I am rarely in a quiet place or a still place. I have four children. My youngest is in first grade. My oldest is in seventh grade. I tell you their grades because that's easier to remember than their ages. But I have three boys and one girl. And I have a wonderful husband. And we are not as busy as we used to be, but still busier than we want to be.
There you go.
So That's where we are.
Okay. Any dogs or fish or anything like that?
Oh, we have two dogs.
Okay.
Because four kids was not
right,
enough.
Right, right. Always.
And we didn't get one. We got two.
Nice.
But Scout and Luna are our dogs, and our children are Zachary, Georgia Kate, Lucas, and Judson Jr.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Thank you.
All right, Debbie, where are you today?
Well, I'm surprised how much we have in common because we also have four children, but we have three girls and one son.
Okay.
So just opposite. My parents started at Dawson before I was born. So I've been here for a long time. And then 33 years ago, I married my husband here at Dawson. So we just celebrated our 33rd anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we have four children that are grown, ages 24 to 31. And two are married, two are not. They all in Hoover, all go to church here at Dawson, so we're very blessed with that.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And I entered the stage of grandparenthood, which is amazing. And we, too, have two dogs.
Okay.
Two golden retrievers, Lacey and Tucker.
Mm. All right. All right. So on the podcast this season, we're talking about in between places. And we're using the scripture from John chapter 4, which is Jesus and the woman at the well. So what resonates with you about that story or about that scripture?
What struck me that I love so much was that God had a divine appointment with the Samaritan woman, that he was there. In the scripture it says, and I think Pastor David said it just recently, he had to go there. Mm. And I love that because he was already there. He was there waiting for her, and he knew her situation. He knew what she was going through before she even got there.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Lainey, what about you?
My dad's a pastor, so I grew up hearing a lot of the flannel graph stories. And then as an adult, just hearing them differently. And the first podcast I ever listened to was Back Porch Theology with Lisa Harper. And the first one I listened to was the one where she talks about the woman at the well. And what she helped me to maybe consider about this story was that the woman was probably not the harlot, if I can say that, that I envisioned, that likely, you know, men could initiate divorce, but women couldn't. So if she had been truly legally married that many times, she had to have been chosen by somebody and then rejected by them. When she had gone through the whole process, like she had done the bridegroom thing, she had done the preparations that many times, and that many times the man had said, you know what, I don't actually want you. That had to be awful. And then Lisa also in her podcast helped me to know that culturally, one of the reasons that women often were divorced was because they couldn't have children. So to consider the possibility, not that, I mean, we don't know that, it's not in Holy Writ, but the possibility that she was wonderful enough to be chosen that many times, but then that one disqualifier again and again made her not lovable. So that was what I thought was awesome. And then she's finally with this man who, I mean, loves her enough to choose her after being rejected that many times and her being maybe undesirable culturally or societally. But then that he won't do her the dignity of marrying her is a different way of looking at it than I'd ever looked at it before. And then for Jesus to show up and say, I want the intimacy that you've wanted, and I know all this about you, and I love you not despite it, but for it. And I've known it, and there's nothing I know more than how much I love you. And I just like was blown away. And then of course hooked on podcasts because I got this just rich commentary about the passage that I'd never heard before. So I think that I pretty much just plagiarized and summarized everything they had said, but that's what stands out now to me when I read.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that Pastor David did a sermon on this just two or three weeks ago when as we're recording, and that idea that she may not have been, you know, some sort of a loose woman. She could have been, you know, had legitimate marriages, then either been widowed or divorced or whatever. And I don't know that I've ever thought about that. So I do like that context. And it does make you see the story differently.
Well, I think we've all been rejected. So, like, no matter what you've been rejected in, but to think, like, when you meet Jesus, he knows that. Mm-hmm. And he knows those places of your heart. And he comes to redeem that and give you that you wanted from that thing that only really he can give, which I think is where that transfers to anybody. Right. I mean, beyond.
Right. Well, when we first started talking about this, when Kristen and I first started talking about what she wanted to kind of focus the podcast on, I've probably spent more time with this story recently than I have, you know, in my whole life. But talking about the in-between, and it was like, well, obviously Jesus, you know, was between Judea and Galilee. And I made the comment, I'm not sure what the woman was in between. And then, you know, somebody else commented, well, obviously she was between being lost and being found. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, there was that, you know. But I'm struck by the fact that she was just doing her thing. You know, she had no expectation of meeting him or meeting anybody that for that matter. Allison, we don't ever ask you what resonates with you. What resonates with you, Allison?
Yeah, well, it's just Jesus's intentionality of seeking her out and having known all that he knows about her past, whatever it was. And I love what you just said about the different options, because it's not written and given to us. And so it's not fair for us to assume anything, but to consider maybe all that she had been through. And despite that, he seeks her out. He finds her at, you know, midday at the well. She wasn't thinking she'd find anybody. And there he was, right when he needed her, kind of, I wouldn't say she was at the end of her rope, but she was just doing her thing and living with her past and her history and just kind of doing the best she could, but kind of staying away from other people too, because maybe noon's not when you go to get water. And there he was, intentionally seeking her. And that just over and over resonates with me, that it doesn't matter. Jesus does come to redeem any situation, and he already knows what it is.
So think about or tell us about a time when you've been in an in-between place. I mean, we're kind of always all in between one thing or another, but specific time in your life.
My biggest one, the one that stands out the most, is when I was in between of caring for my aging parents and I had small children at home. went on mainly, well, from like when they were little babies until they were off going off to college, especially towards the end. And just having to, you're pulled in every different direction. You don't feel like you're doing a good job anywhere. But you just go forward and you do the next right thing. It was a really, really hard time. And even in our family life group, I hear so many other people that are going through it. That's one of our biggest prayer requests. But it's something that, as we talk about, I saw God show up over and over and over again. And in ways that blessed us more for to this day, you know, that I have hold close to me. So
and are there some specifics you can?
There is. It's kind of a quick story. Can
yeah,
I tell that to
yeah.
you? So in 1999, my father had open heart surgery. During open heart surgery, he had a massive heart attack. And we thought he would be okay. It happened on a Friday. On that Sunday, everybody else was moving out of intensive care. My dad was not. By Wednesday, they told us that he was in a coma, had been in a coma, and we just thought he was waking up. And they had done all the brain wave activities, and there was nothing. They said he would be a vegetable. My brother asked, what does his life expectancy look like? And they said, well, he'll never eat, drink, nothing again. We didn't want him to be like that. This church was praying for him nonstop. Dad worked the nursery doors downstairs. He was an usher. He sat on the same pew, him and mom sat on the same pew every Sunday all their life. And but the strength we felt from the church and the prayers going out, every night when I would leave the hospital, I'd call Altafe and Dr. Fenton and update them and say, this is what's going on with Dad. This is what's going on with Dad. So on that Wednesday, we were told he would not live or he would be a vegetable. And that following Sunday, that Wednesday, after we heard that, I went down to the chapel. And I can remember I just got on the chapel at St. Vincent's and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and cried and cried and cried. Anyway, that following Sunday, my best friend called and she said, I'm heading to church. What can we pray for? And I said, I just don't want him to be a vegetable. We got to the hospital that morning and we were greeted with, he's awake.
Wow.
He had woken up, had no brain, no problems whatsoever, completely healed. And in fact, him and Dr. Fenton had a game about their ties, about who could wear the craziest tie. And Dr. Fenton came to visit Dad, and Dad's first comment was, I think you've got me beat, Pastor. And so he was healed.
Wow.
Fast forward 10 years later, and my dad was very private about his faith. He was very faithful, but didn't speak much of it. 10 years later, I was taking him to the hospital, to the doctor right before he did pass away. And out of the blue, he said, I walked on clouds. And I said, sir? And he said, I walked on clouds, and the rest is between my maker and me.
Wow.
And I asked him if it was before, while he was in the coma, and he said yes. And he had kept that private for 10 years. So as we care for them through the years, and my mom, that was such a gift for God to give to us.
Yeah.
To let us know that he was there with us. And I knew he was, but that was just truly a gift to us.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Very special.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lainey?
Oh, like how you said, aren't we like always
yes.
in an in-between?
Absolutely.
I'm like, what am I not? But I have been in many in-between places. I, over the last couple years, the Lord has really just helped me like reorient a lot, which has meant just a lot of undoing and then putting back together, but not back together. Rachel, you said this, and you probably remember it, but during COVID, we spent some time together weekly. And one of the things that you would always say was, I can't wait to get back to similar. And I loved it because I was like, you know, I don't want to go back because I feel like we've learned so much. And I mean, I don't want to downplay the heartache that a lot of people experienced, but there were some moments of growing. And I feel like over the last couple of years, the Lord has really kind of taken me on that journey of, you know, whatever you call it. I mean, I'm a type A, Enneagram 1, like whatever you want to call it. So I am really prone to feel like I get insight from the Lord and then be like, yes, Lord, I've got it. I've got the vision. And then, you know, I'm 30 steps ahead until I realize, oh, wait, you just said, hey, what about this? And like maybe that was just a fun brainstorming activity for me and you that was never actually supposed to happen. And maybe it was just to whet my appetite for eternity, or maybe you were ready for step one, but step two wasn't supposed to come for a long time. So I feel like right now I am in the in-between of waiting. So the Lord has really helped me to be in a sweet season of just do the one thing and then wait, but love the waiting. Don't wait. Wait expectantly, yes, because I'm going to move, but don't wait anxiously, like when can I or when do I, but mm-hmm. just enjoy it with me. Like you're not in the driver's seat, so just be along for it and enjoy that. And I think it's Terry Lee Cobble that always says like, he gets the glory and I get the joy. And I feel like he's saying that to me a lot of times. Like, remember, let me keep that glory that I think the like kavod, like the heaviness, the weight, like glory is heavy, it's weight. And like, I cannot. So if I leave that to him, then I just get the joy. And so this has been a sweet season, but I do feel like I'm in between because we are busy and loud that I'm like, I can't imagine this continuing my whole life. So I feel like I'm in between that maybe I'm being prepared for whatever might be next. And I don't know what that is. And if not, I would love to ride this out until the second coming. But I will say
it doesn't get any quieter.
I'm sure.
It doesn't. And those in-betweens just change to the next in-between that you get to.
Yes.
But there's purpose in each one of them, you know? Mm-hmm.
I'm just struck by what your father said. Like, did you notice a difference in his faith in those 10 years?
He was a much, because he was a strict disciplinarian beforehand, much more relaxed. He seemed to think a lot more. And honestly, it took him 10 years to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And for him to tell me like a week before he passed away, and why I didn't ask him what he saw, tell me about it. And then it took me a week to tell people. But I think that was just trying to absorb all of it.
Yeah, I may have taken him 10 years to process it.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, so. But I do think, even as we go through these, and I think that, well, I know there's purpose in each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we learn from them and grow and then go on to the next in between, knowing that he's here with us.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that has been a theme in our conversation so far, with all the people that we're talking to about this, but is this idea that, and it just hit me today, really, that our roles are very different. And we can be in between and still have very different roles. Like when you're talking about you know, the parent taking care of your parents and your children. You know, you're a daughter in one situation and you're a parent in another situation. Mm-hmm. I know we have two college-age kids, and which are basically, you know, they're adults, but the way we parent one and the way we parent the other mm-hmm. is very different because their needs are different. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm their mom, but I'm a different mom to this one than I am to that one in a lot of ways.
Mm. I tell my kids all the time, because they're like, that's not fair. I'm like, it is fair, but it's not equal. And it shouldn't
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like, in the same way, God doesn't give me what he gives you because
exactly.
it's not good for you. So,
because I don't need this. Yeah, we don't need the same things.
Right.
You've sort of touched on it, but what lessons have you learned in these situations, in these in-between times?
I think, as I said, there is purpose. For instance, like when my mom, so when Dad died in 2009, and then we cared for my mom from 2009 to the 16, and she had Parkinson's, so right towards the end, she was in pretty bad shape. And I can remember by this time we had brought her back home. She just wanted to be at home. And we had caregivers there with her. And I'm thinking, how this is horrible. I mean, it's horrible. She really couldn't move. And I remember getting at her side and holding her hands and praying with her and talking about heaven and how wonderful, because heaven's going to be incredible. Mm. Incredible. Talking to her what to look forward to and praying with her. And not later until after she died did someone come to me and tell me that the caregiver, who I had no idea was listening, And I don't know exactly what the caregiver told my friend, but it touched her in some way. And I thought, unfun as that was.
Right.
It might have reached somebody. Somebody overheard. And so there was purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Evans once said, if you're breathing, there is a purpose for your life.
Right.
So it's just in those in-between times, what is our purpose? It's like you said a few minutes ago, you said, take the next step. Well, if you don't know what to do in that in-between, do the next best thing, the next right thing, and God's going to use it for him.
I think it's interesting when we're having these conversations, tell us about an in-between, it's almost always something that's like a challenge or a trial. An in-between isn't necessarily negative, mm-hmm. But I do think we probably tend to learn more in the ones that we're challenged. So, I mean, did you pray differently? Does that make sense?
I can think of very recently just a conversation that was a difficult conversation, and I could tell that the person I was talking to was, like, passionate and, like, I mean, I won't say mad, but, like, frustrated and irritated, and I just kept thinking of that song, that Charity Gale song, I Speak Jesus, and so I was just like, Jesus, 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 over
yeah.
and over in my head,
yeah.
like, I'm just going to speak your name over this conversation because I don't want to respond and reflecting this back, because that's just going to get bad.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, help me hear what's actually going on here, because I'm really, like, distracted by how this is being communicated. And, like, that I feel like is not something I ever could have, like, thought to do myself, that I really do feel like that was the Lord just being like, just remember that I'm here, I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so in situations like that, I honestly will just say Jesus over and over again. And maybe provisional and protection over, like, what I am hearing and how I'm hearing it, that maybe I'm not hearing things that would not be good for me, and able to respond more in a compassionate or loving way instead of responding to the frustration. And so I think that's true about other situations, too. That was just a recent one that came to mind, that sometimes it's through tears and sometimes it's through laughing and sometimes it's just in desperation, like, Jesus, 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 help me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that that was going to be my exact answer, because just recently I really started listening to praise music more so. And the I Speak Jesus, literally, that's what I've been speaking over, just that I learned through when it was sung recently, over issues that we're going through now, when you don't know what to pray.
Right.
And I just claim it at that point. And I listened to the song on the way over here, and it just does wonders.
Yeah, it really does. So going back to this idea of roles and that we're the same person, but we may be in different roles. I mean, speak to a little bit about like how your kids reacted or how they saw your faith sort of walked out in those times.
Yes. Especially when we were taking care of mom. And when I say we, my sister and I, thank goodness for family, you know, because we did it together. But my kids were... they watched a lot. They saw a lot. They were, I did not bring them around as they were at mom and dad's more there. But when she got really sick, they really were very supportive. I never felt that they didn't make me feel like they were missing out. I'm sure at that time, in fact, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking how I felt like I didn't do a good job 100% on either end. But my family was, my husband was very supportive. He took the role, but it was hard. Just all of it was hard, but I would do it again in a heartbeat, mainly because after it was over, I just felt the thankfulness that we did. But really, I just feel like the kids understood. I'm sure there were days that probably they might have acted out more and I did not realize it was because I was gone more or I might have been, you know, I can remember sitting in the den one night and all the kids are there and we're watching a movie together and the phone rings and I had to jump in the car and go to my mom's. So it was hard on them, but, you know, you just go through it and and the Lord, He really literally carried us through it to get through it. So
in the story, Jesus wasn't surprised to meet the woman, but she obviously was not expecting to meet him. Have you had, whether it's this in between or a different time, but have you had unexpected encounters with Jesus that have affected how you deal with transitions?
I've had unexpected, encounters.
Encounters with Jesus.
I've definitely had unexpected encounters, and that surprised me, too. One that stands out was just a time that was a hard time in my life, and just some surprises and just feeling so completely 1,000% sure that what the Lord wanted me to know was this person that you're walking through this really hard thing with is a child of God. And I almost just, I don't know, apparently I need repetition in my life, but I almost like over and over in my head heard like, they're a child of God. They're a child of God. And so it was just like this constant reminder of you cannot go into this or go through it or to the other end of it without this. And, you know, that's not true for every situation and that, but I just felt so sure that like if I ever wondered or ever had a question, it was almost like what your dad said. Like it was so... like a gift of this happened and this person is my child. Cause you know, sometimes we wonder like what the fruit I'm seeing makes me wonder. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it was such a message from God and just a like confident, consistent, like this is what you need to know. And I feel like that's happened, whether it's been through songs that we sing in worship that are from God's word that just straight from scripture or whatever. The two songs lately that have been kind of popping up in my head are the, Lord, Lord, I need you. And then also along with that, the song, the Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. And I kind of like hear this like mashup of these two songs in my head, like just a real slow, like, Lord, I come, I confess. And then Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. Lord, I come, I confess, prone to leave the God I love. And it's just that, over and over. And I just feel like it's such a good reminder because as a person prone to perfectionism, Enneagram 1, like, I'm so prone to be like, I got this. I'm doing it. And I'm just so grateful that he's given me time and quiet sometimes to remind me that, you know, you can try to have it, but you don't. And just in that one situation for him to say, like, this person's my child, and guess what? You're my child, and I'm your perfect parent. And, you don't balance it. I feel like I have so many conversations with young moms especially that I just feel – I think the advice from those wise women of, like, to don't take it for granted. It'll pass by so quickly. I know what they mean, and it's so true, and they are, like, saints of God to, like, encourage women in that way. But to a perfectionist, the way that sounds is you're not doing it right. If you're not enjoying it,
right,
there's something you're doing that's wrong. And that's how I felt. I felt that, like, I'm not doing it right with my time, or I'm doing something wrong, or my kids are missing out. And I feel like Lord is like, well, I won't even say that. I can't blame the Lord for this. But, like, I feel this, you know, urgency to tell them, like, you are not doing it wrong. There are a lot of times where you are surviving. Like, and I think when you were talking, Allison, about the woman at the well, that's what I maybe heard you saying. Like, she was surviving. She was going through her day, just trying to get through the day. And she was not expecting anything. But I just feel like a lot of young moms, and maybe all kinds of women, not just young moms, maybe single women, like, a lot of them feel like, if I'm not enjoying this season where God has me, I'm doing it wrong. And I think it's more a product of the fall. And so know and just rest in the one who's there. Yeah. In the middle of your day.
Right.
When you don't expect him to be there. I think is what he's taught me in between places, maybe.
As a mom of four kids older, that was very good advice, because there's always going to be, as soon as this happens, as soon as I get this done, I'll do it. And to be content, which I've got it written down all over my house, being content is when what you have is enough, or what you're doing is enough. And when you said that, like, if I'm not doing it good enough, as long as you get through that day and you've just loved your kids and you've done it, you've done it. It doesn't matter if you've made that next goal or whatever. So,
And if you just survived, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy it later. And when you have grandkids, you'll really enjoy it. So that's what I tell people, like, don't feel bad or like you're doing it wrong. Yeah. And maybe you are, and look at it. If he wants you to grow, but otherwise, I mean.
Well, you mentioned COVID earlier, and, you know, I remember, of course, none of us knew exactly how long that was going to last, but, you know, the kids were home. My son had been a freshman in college, and he came home, and that was a whole different, you know, because we were all geared up for him to have, you know, moved out of the house, and then he was back, and, you know, so those dynamics were different, and I remember kind of as things were beginning to open up a little bit, and then everybody was beginning to have conversations about, you know, what it would look like to go back to work, or what it would look like to, you know, have restaurants open and that kind of thing. I remember kind of thinking, I hope I haven't wasted this time that nobody expected, but that we've all been together and we've all been home, and that, you know, have I used my time well, or have I just watched a lot of TV kind of thing, you know? And I think that it's kind of that same idea. Like, she obviously didn't waste her encounter with Jesus, because not only did she, you know, tell everybody, but later on we see that, you know, it wasn't just that day, but that other people came to know the Lord because of her testimony. And so to me, it's kind of this idea of, when I'm in between, am I really where, am I being present there, or am I always looking forward or backward, you know, which I don't think we want to do. Certainly that's not what scripture tells us to do. So,
and just like you said, when you get stressed or whatever, you just say Jesus's name. There's been many times lately, a lot, that I'll just stop and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Where do I go right mm-hmm. now? Show me what my next step is.
I never remember the reference, but you know, I think it's maybe Isaiah, but it's something about, and you'll hear a voice from behind you that tells you to go to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really do wish there was something in my day all day long that was like, okay, keep walking, turn right.
Like GPS.
Now write this down. You know, I mean, because it's like, I think I get started and then I get off on my own thing and I'm like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be, you know, paying attention to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So how do you encourage people that are in between something?
I think, so Allison Allen has a really great book, as Thirsty for More is the name of the book. And she talks a lot about wilderness periods, which I feel like is maybe kind of what we're talking about with these in-between places too. And she talks about the scripture about, I don't know what translation it is, but one of the translations says that basically he allures her into the wilderness. And so she's like, this is a tender thing. Like, Jesus is calling, I mean, it's Old Testament, so Jesus, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is calling us into these in-between places and these wilderness seasons to speak tenderly to us, is what it says in that translation of that scripture that is somewhere. And so I love that imagery of, like, he allures me, the one who calls me his beloved, allures me into the wilderness to speak tenderly to me. So I think anybody who's been in an in-between place and has come out of it, I think, would say that there's been something that was spoken tenderly to them, if not many, at least one takeaway. And I think just a prompt of, like, think of another time when you were in an in-between or in a wilderness, that's going to happen again. I mean, that's the promise of Scripture over and over again, but that's the story of us. Like, every person, not character, but person, real life person in Scripture is the story of how that happened. And that's what our life is, that, you know, Jesus, I think in Dane Ortlund's deeper book, he says, you know, Jesus loved us too much to keep staying here and calling people to him. He went back to intercede on our behalf to the Father. But what did he do? He left the story to us. So, like, Scripture is complete, but it goes on with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think just to point people to that of, like, what's your story? Like, if you were a person of the Bible, what would those wilderness tender conversations be? And for those that you've been through, to fuel you now. And if you're young in faith and that hasn't happened yet, who are some people you know? And who have you seen that in? And what stories are the ones that brought you closer to Jesus to eventually become a follower? And let that be the fuel until you have your own, is what I would say.
You sure do read a lot for somebody with four kids.
Girl, I love to read. I'm on page like 20 of Deeper, but it's good so far. I've started a lot of books. I didn't finish Thirsty for More, though. That's a good one. She's Lisa Harper's sidekick on the podcast,
Oh, is
too.
She? Okay. Yes. Very cool. Okay.
It's good.
I think the lessons that I would take away would be just to remember that he knows our circumstances. He knew the woman at the well and her circumstances and her husbands that she had. He knows where we come from. He knows where we're going. And prayerful, like when I was bringing up that about my father, it was basically the prayer. The prayer, you know, prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just stopping and, well, not just even, but just to call out his name, and he knows what we need. And I love the sentence, God is on his throne, and he is over all of this, and he'll see us through it. And he gives us glimpses of him and heaven throughout as we go through it, you know, whatever our in-between may be, and to keep going forward.
Okay, mm-hmm. So do you have scriptures that you go to over and over during in between times?
I think the first in between time I had was maybe the first time in my life that, like, I really prayed about, Lord, what scripture do you want to encourage me with? And there were two scriptures that I, at the time, had memorized. And I don't know if I still know them, but it was the consider it pure joy, you know, whenever you face trials, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I know I skipped a lot of chunks on purpose. And then there was another one, too. And so, again, I think, like, when he's brought someone through a wilderness period, then it's you kind of go back to, like, what did he do in me last time? And, like, how do I experience that with him again? And so I feel like he often is now calling me to certain scriptures. And the one he's really put on my heart lately that has just come up in so many conversations with friends, too. I think I've had 3 or 4 friends lately that have been going through some in-between places, but all completely different stages of life, completely different things. But this verse has just jumped out to me to share with all of them. But Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And I love all of it. And on a different day, another part of that might jump out. But, like, today, he will quiet you by his love. Like, just the imagery of, like, this world is so not quiet. And not just not mine, but all of them. I mean, even the leaf blower outside our podcast right. recording. Like, that he will quiet me by his love. And it's just great. But then, you know, that he rejoices over us with singing. So when my heart can't sing, he sings for me and over me. It's just, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And so I can't think of a situation where that wouldn't be. And so the Bible plan that I do challenges you to have a memory verse every week. I memorize nary a one, but I write them on note cards every time. And this one was like 7 weeks ago, and I've just kept it in my Bible because it's just, I've added the other two that I'm supposed to add because I'm a type A Enneagram one, but I've kept this one because it just has been so meaningful, and I think it will continue to be for a while. But I just love that. I love singing, but I also love quiet, and that he is the meeting of those two extremities, like Dane Ortlund says, like, it's just awesome in ways that I can't fathom, but it also does encourage me.
I like that. Do you have anything, Debbie?
Well, if I had my bag in here with me, I have all my note cards and my favorite verses written down. But my go-to forever is Proverbs 3:5, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right. not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I love Debbie saying that I saw God show up when she was dealing with her aging parents and the difficulties that came with that. What a gift that even in the difficult circumstances, God showed up. Likewise for the woman at the well. She was in difficult circumstances, regardless of what they were. She saw God show up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.